Good morning. Glad you're with us today. We had a great Friday night here with our Harvest Festival, and man, it was great. If you missed it, it was just a wonderful time. Had lots of costumes, just lots of good things going on. We're glad you're with us today. We say it every week, and we mean it every week. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. God has a reason for you being here. It may be nothing that is said. It may be from a corporate worship. It may be from praying together with someone. It may be just God's spirit within you moving. It may be something that's drawing you, that's changing you, that's looking and saying, what's going on in my life? There's something going on. But we're glad you're here, and we can rest assured that God is faithful and his word is faithful. And so within all of that, we see that it's not upon us. Paul's always said, it's not about us. It's not about us up here. We can't create worship. We create the environment for it. Nor can I create change. Hopefully we can create the environment for it. We have a guest with us today. He's really a friend. Come on up here. Some of you who... Now, remember the cardinal rule, right?
Yes.
You got to be on this side. Yeah, there you go. Cardinal rule. Hi, Shaba.
Hi. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you again. It's been so long.
Yes. I mean, the first church service.
First service, yeah. His nickname is Chubby. For those of you who do not know, that is not demeaning at all. That is your nickname, right? I mean, Hungarian,
yes,
Shaba
in Hungarian,
is Chubby.
That's how we
It's kind of like William
nicknames.
And Bill. I'm William, but I'm Bill. You call me Chubby, you're dead. But other than that, that's not a nickname.
We would call you in Hungary Billy.
Billy?
Billy, yes.
Billy.
Like put the E at the end.
Billy.
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 Yeah. Do you like it?
You're supposed to call me Pastor the Most Holy Right Reverend Barnett.
Okay.
That just came out of
I
nowhere.
Have to learn
Can you
that.
Even remember that? No. Shaba is a friend. I came to know him years ago. Years ago as I was speaking in actually Komlo in Hungary and met him years ago. Actually
1991.
Patrick, 1991. Patrick is how old? 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I was there. She was pregnant. With Patrick.
Yes, exactly.
And boy, we've just fallen in love. I used to really love him. Now it's not so much, but that's okay. No. We love having Shaba. Shaba is one of our missionaries, and here's a, before I forget, as we get going, I don't miss it. There's a table in the back. I encourage you to go back to the table, get information. If you'd like to have Shaba in with your family or just spend time with him to hear what God's doing, it's great for your family as well to see what he's just doing around in Hungary and in Albania and with working with high school students. As well as today, encourage you to give a love offering to missions. Just write missions on it or on your envelope. Your check, drop it in the box, make it out to the church, and we'll get it to Shaba as a love offering just for saying, I help cover some of the expenses of him being here as well. And so it's really always just a joy to have you. Virag was here. She had to fly back earlier, so she's already gone. And so now you're here doing ministry exposure, meeting with people, and raising funds to support the ministry as well as prayer partners. We have been in a process of the last few weeks of a series about With Certainty. And with certainty, there are some things that we know. We know that with certainty, the first question has to be answered, is there a God? That's probably worldwide. People say, well, is there really a God? And if there is a God, how does he make himself known to us, which is through his word? He gives us his word that we can make himself known to us. And we believe that the word is inspired, all of the word, as do you. It doesn't contain parts of it. It is the word of God. We also know that from that word, we gain assurances that he said, I'm with you, assurance of forgiveness and salvation. All of the things that the assurance and the promises that we got. And then we looked at the issue of the reality of suffering, that God says, blessed are you who suffer. And as I thought about this, especially as you were coming, because as we looked at suffering, we're going to see some of that. But before we get into this, the suffering itself and the perception that we have, share with us about your family, about your ministry. You going to try that picture again? You going to try that first one again?
With a different comment.
Okay, let's try it again.
Yeah,
here.
Because of the first service, I tried the joke. But I realize it doesn't work in English, so I'm not trying again.
No, I'd really like to hear it again and watch the same reaction to the first service. Huh?
So let me show you a picture about my family. A lot of you know them. This is the tough outlook of ourselves.
Better, much better. Yes. They actually got with you there. The tough. That's not the way he described it in the first service. That's okay. Go ahead.
But... this is not really us. This is just for the picture. The next picture shows us who we are really. So yes, Virag, my wife, and her name means flower. So she is my flower on my right. Yes, I'm confused with right and left. And we have two sons, Patrick and Balázs. Patrick in the dark blue. He is in Chicago Moody Bible Institute. He's studying there. He's enjoying very much, except the weather. Friday was already snowing there. Oh, it's hard to think about it. And Balázs, our younger son, he just graduated from high school he's back with us in Budapest, Hungary. And if you never heard this country, Hungary, I'm not surprised because it's a very small country on the other side of the earth. Just you can see on this map in middle of Europe where only 10 million people lives in that country and we speak this strange language that's called Hungarian. So, and there is another country too, Albania, and not, that's not an accident because this is the two countries where we serve. We're living in Hungary. We're serving about among high school students. We share the gospel with them. We disciple them. And we send them to share their faith with others. And Albania is the other country where we lived and served for 7 years. But we still keep in touch with the ministry. On the next picture, you can see on the right up there, that's me with three of my Hungarian disciples. And we took this picture in Albania. We went there this summer to help Albanian Campus Crusade for the summer project. And it was a great experience to them to see how God can use them in a different country, in a different culture. And you can see Virago also with some of her disciples. And on the left up, you can see our wonderful, great team. So when I'm using plural, I really not mean just Virag and I do this ministry. But in the Hungarian Campus Crusade, in the high school ministry, this year we are 11 people, 6 Americans, 5 Hungarians, and from November we will have two people from Belarus. So it's a very international team, and I really enjoy this very international ministry. So if you would like to be involved in it, just like many of you already involved with your prayers, with your financial supports, or many of them already been there in Hungary or Albania, there are a lot of opportunities. So on the next picture, just I would like to remind you for these opportunities, you can give, you can pray, and you can come to Hungary and serve with us. If you want to know more about this, about it, just come to me at the table and I will use my best English to explain more details.
We probably heard your best English, huh? Yeah, that means yes. Just say yes, yes, yes. So much of your ministry with high school students, it's great. Tell us, just give us a scope of what you guys are doing there and the openness with the schools and the drug and all of the, just give us a real snapshot of what you're doing.
Yes, Hungary is very open to the gospel, especially teenagers. And we have great opportunities in high school, in high schools, because we have a drug and AIDS prevention program. That's a Christian program, and we can go into public high schools. We can speak very openly, and that's a good way to connect with these young people. And we can invite them for different crazy activities and fun programs, and that's where we know them better, and we try to share the gospel with them and make disciples. And every week we have 70, 80 kids on our weekly meeting, and most of them are already involved in our Bible study groups. So it's great. We really enjoy what God is doing in these young people, and it's a great blessing.
And are you doing the same in Albania?
Yeah, it's the same thing is going on in Albania. We started in 1999 there, the high school ministry. Before that, they had just college ministry in Crusade. And now as an Albanian team continue that ministry and going very well. I saw last summer them, so it was fun.
All right, let me change gears here. We talked about suffering. We as Westerners oftentimes have a perception of the suffering missionary. Okay, you would be officially a missionary. You represent us. You represent our church. We support you. We want people to support you. But we have this idea of the suffering missionary. It comes to our minds, like if you say go, well, some people say, well, I'm going to go. It's gonna, what's it going to look like? I'm going to be in a thatched hut, you know, no shoes, da, 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 da. The suffering missionary, give us your perspective. Change our perspective of what the suffering missionary is all about. How do you suffer in Hungary and Albania and versus us suffering here? How does that relate?
Yes. Well, yes, I'm suffering just like you and you and you. I think missionaries are not that different. Missionaries, Christians, just like anyone else. And we are living in an imperfect world. We suffering in this world from the consequence of the sins and a lot of other things make us suffering. So yes, you can hear about missionaries who are living in hard conditions in other countries. They're suffering a lot. When I think about myself, I'm not suffering that way. But we are in the spiritual warfare. Every day we see hard situations. We meet people's problems. And for example, it's very hard to me when I see someone accept Christ and after just change his mind and walk away from the Lord. That's when I really feel suffering. And of course, we work together with imperfect people, including myself. So sometimes we are suffering from each other, from the mistake, how we hurt each other. And I can tell you many, many other examples. Yes, suffering part of this life. And especially, I don't know how it's possible to handle that if you don't have a fixed point in your life. If you don't have someone who is never changed, who is always the same, and who can you trust all the time. If you have no something, someone like that, and I talk about God, I cannot imagine how can you handle suffering.
Right, which brings us to security. The point of suffering is that we have a perception, but if we're doing what God calls us to do here, and we suffer for righteousness' sake, it's exactly what you're doing there. So it's we should be doing that here, as missionaries here, of our own sphere of influence. We should be doing the same thing as you're doing there, and the suffering for righteousness' sake is we're blessed. Now you speak up security, which is what we're talking about today, even with certainty, the issue of security, you just brought that up, that if you don't have a fixed point. So the issues of security, what are the areas that you wrestle with? Will they be different than what people wrestle with here on the issues of security? Where do you place your security? Where do you place your trust? How do you deal with that in a world when, you know, the issues of security?
My biblical answer would be like, I'm 100% trusting God in everything, and that's my desire. And I'm suffering when I'm not doing that. And I'm not perfect, just like no one. Many times that's happening, that we try to be secure from, find security in other things and not in God. And that's always hard. I remember when we moved to Albania and our parents, who are not Christians, they didn't understand why we take their grandkids away from them to a third world country. It's unsafe. It's dangerous. That's stupid. And we couldn't tell them that, you know, the safest place on the earth, the place where God wants to see you. So that can be even a war zone. If God is calling you there, that's the safest place to you. Yeah. If you are somewhere else where God doesn't want to see you, maybe he will send a big fish and will eat you
there.
Just like Jonah
take
had.
So, all right, yes, security, and we all face it here as well as there. We can be secure, place our security in the wrong things. Okay, big question here. Are you still eating your vegetables?
I love vegetables very much.
There you go. I encourage you to stop back by the booth back there just to see Shaba. Sign up for a prayer letter, all that kind of stuff, as well as if you have opportunity to have him, if he has appointments, man, have him in your home and just have some time, spend some time with him. And then a give as well, just to help the ministry that he's going through. We love him. I love his wife even more, but, you know, we have to put up with him. No, his family has served the Lord. He's been a faithful steward and a faithful servant. And, boy, that's great to see. Let me pray for him, and then we'll continue. Father, just thank you this morning for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for Shab and Virag and the kids, their dedication and desire to serve you, to be used wherever you would have them. And, God, thank you for his heart and their love for you. Thank you that since at the age of 17, coming to know you, he knew that he must share with others the joy of coming to know you and how you've changed his life. So I pray that you would just meet the needs that they have and meet the needs that they have in Hungary and Albania for their team as he's gone. Be with them as well, that things will go smoothly and things are going okay. And that, God, the ministry continues to flourish and grow. Thank you for the way we can be involved in him. I pray that perhaps you'll touch someone here, not just to pray and not just to give, but to go as well and to see the results of that ministry. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Shaba and being here this day. In your sons, let me pray. Amen. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shaba. You betcha. And we'll say the term, you know, our security, I'm in control. We think we are. Some of you really believe this lie that you're in control of your life. Well, you control your responses, but you sure cannot control the stimulus that comes at you. You can't do it. That's the world we live in. We live in a fallen world, and there's stimulus that comes at us, and we can't always say, well, you know, man, like Shabba just said, 100% of the time I'd like to be right there, but unfortunately I'm not always there. And that's that is the desire of our heart, to be 100% there, but that's just not the reality of the world that we live in. And so God says, when you are in that way, you are forgiven, and that's back to the assurances that we have of his forgiveness and his love, and we continue in that process within that. I am in control, but when we tell you, I'm in control, pretty soon we know that we're not in control. We can't control what's going to happen. Not one of us knows what's going to happen in 10 minutes from now. Some of you are praying I'm done in 10 minutes, but you don't even know that. I am in control. Man, it's difficult to relinquish that. And we believe that lie that, man, some of us are self-made and we're strong, as Justin was saying. Some people are strong and they're strong. And that's a fallacy in a sense, because we're not going to make it that way. We're so self-assured at times that pride keeps in. Jeremiah 10, chapter 10, verse 23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. And boy, don't we try to do that. Oh, yeah, there's the right part of planning, not being like the sluggard, not being like the ant. You know, I mean, be like the ant who works and continues. We understand that. But at the same time, we have to trust in the next step that we take is directed and guided by him. Some people trust in themselves. Others, for lack of a better term, they trust that the government will take care of them. Not just the government, it's other people. And your spouse to be what only God can be. Only God can be perfect. Only God can be the one who is your security, not your spouse. And many times we have a relationship with a spouse is asking their spouse to be God, to be the security, and we will fail. Man, I look back, even the Israelites who were in bondage, they leave Egypt. They leave Egypt. They're free. They cross the Red Sea. They're in the desert. And things got tough. And what did they want to go back to? Egypt. Thinking, oh, the Egyptians will take care of us. Chapter 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. This really just brings it right down to us today. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Boast in that you know and understand God. Don't boast in your perceived might, your strength, your power, your money, the things you have, the possessions. You boast in that you know and understand God. What are some of the things that we need to understand about God this morning? If we're going to really understand that and boast about it, first you need to boast the fact that God is aware. God is aware. We need to understand that he is aware of your life. He understands what you need. He understands. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing within that. He knows the steps that you're taking. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He is that rock. As Shabba was saying, we better hold on to somebody that is trustworthy, that is immutable, that will not change. God is aware of your life. He knows what you're facing. He's all-knowing. He's all-caring. He cares about us. But we must know that not only is God aware, It's one thing to be aware. I may know that you have a need. I may know that you have a desire. But God is also engaged within that. God is engaged in that. He wants to be engaged in our life. He wants us to live in that dangerous wonder of knowing God so that we are aware. But what kind of God would it be? Oh, yeah, God knows what I need, but doesn't want to be engaged in my life. That's what they had to overcome. That's why Jesus, the Lord's Prayer was the reality that says, as we all know it, but he was really, really saying, listen, God wasn't the God that kicked the ball rolling. He wants to be involved in your life. He's engaged. He's not only aware of your needs, he wants to be engaged in changing you, in the process of changing us and transforming us. He wants to be engaged in that process. He's consistent within that. 1 Peter 5:7 speaks of that. He says, cast all your care or anxiety on him because he cares for you. The promise, the assurance we have. We can cast our anxiety upon him because he is the rock. He's not going to change. He's engaged. Have a God who's not only aware, but he longs to be involved with us, and he's engaged within that process. And not only is he engaged, but God is always faithful. God is always faithful. It would be one thing to say, yeah, we have a God who's aware of us, a God who wants to be involved in us, but a God who's not trustworthy. What good is it? What good if you have a God that, yeah, he's God, and he's engaged, he wants to be really engaged in our life, but I can't trust him. I can't trust the promises that he has. Man, God is a promise keeper to all people, to everyone. He says he loves everyone. He says that, man, his grace is sufficient for everything. Oh, but not me. No, he said it's covered. God is faithful within that. God is immutable and changing. We can trust in that. But not only is God aware of us and he wants to be engaged within that, and he's faithful, But what we need to understand is that what we see of this God is that God, even as Paul said, as we look to the expanse of the sky, that we have a creator God, that God is limitless. God has no boundaries. God is not, there's no governor on the strength of God. That we have a God who's limitless. And sometimes the problem is we don't want to relinquish our control of our life to anybody. But at least if we will grow to the point to relinquish the control of our life to God, who is aware, who is engaged, who is faithful, and then we trust him because he is limitless within that. He's all-powerful if we can trust and rest in that. Ephesians 3:20 speaks to that, which I love this verse. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to him, his power that is at work within us, he is able to do more than we ever could ask or imagine. But do we ask? Do we even dream? Do we just try to hang on and survive, or do we ask God to thrive within us? It's God who's all-powerful that says, God, change me and make me and mold me. Use all the issues that we have a God who's aware of our need, who wants to be engaged in our life, who's very faithful, will not fail us, and he's limitless in the power to meet those needs. We trust in a lot of things today. Jeremiah says it best, trust not in these things, but trust that you know and understand God. But sometimes it's like sinking sand. Sometimes it's just like sinking sand, that sand that just kind of washes away. I have two granddaughters. One of them will do this with me. The other one, I never could get stand still long enough to do it. She'd bounce them. But Emery and I will stand on the shore just as the tide coming in and watch the water. You like to do that? You know, you stand, then you wiggle your feet a little bit. In the sand, the water, wiggle the feet a little more. Stand in the water. I know you love my wiggling, don't you? But the sand comes up and it just wiggles. And pretty soon you go, and then I guess probably because the weight variance, she's pretty balanced, but man, I start getting, woo, you know, it starts moving and I start getting a little off balance within that. Sometimes in our lives what we're doing is we're building on a shifting and a sinking sand. We're putting all our eggs in this basket, and the problem is the basket is made of sand. It's just kind of capped away. We sing a new version of it. I didn't grow up with that version. I grew up with the old version. And I remember the truth of that song because it really is the truth of our life. It went like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that we would build upon you. That we would understand that anything else we put our faith in, our hope in, our trust in is sinking sand. Help us not to boast in our wealth or perception of getting it, of our might, of our strength, of our education, of our knowledge. But when we boast and understand that you are God, that you love us and care for us, and that nothing can separate us from your love, and that we as really fallen people who will sin, but we are forgiven and justified. God, may we look at people and value them the way you do, not expecting them to be God, but understanding that they need a God. May our security be in you and you alone. Father, may we trust in you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.